The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Check out Virtue, our website for Christian women. Go to harvest.org/virtue.
You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And it may be in some cases that we've not seen that miracle. We've not seen that divine intervention because we've simply failed to ask the Lord.
Today, Pastor Greg Laurie speaks with best-selling author Lee Strobel about miracles. They're happening whether we see them or not.
We don't really expect God to surprise us with the miraculous. Well, if you don't expect to be surprised, if you're not open to it, if your eyes aren't looking for it, you're probably not going to see it.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Perhaps we're trained to doubt what we see and hear around us. We're on guard for the deal that seems too good to be true. When we pick up the phone, we're wary it may be a telemarketer. A spam email. Enough said. Well, author Lee Strobel had that same skepticism about miracles and decided to investigate. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie discusses what he found. And at the end of the program, you'll hear something you may have never heard in your life. Stay tuned.
Lee, how would you define a miracle? What is a miracle?
Well, you know, there's a lot of definitions, and people throw around that term. You know, they'll say, oh, a miracle, I got a parking place, you know, someplace.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the best definition comes from Richard Pertill. He was a philosopher, and he defined it this way. He said, a miracle is an event brought about by the power of God that is a temporary exception to the ordinary course of nature for the purpose of showing that God is active in history. And in my book, I interview a physicist who does work in the big super collider in Switzerland. He's a well-known, he's a PhD from UCLA. He is a professor of physics at a major American secular university. And I interview him. I have two chapters in my book where he lays out the scientific evidence for Genesis 1:1 being true, that God did create the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And the scientific evidence that we found over the last 50 years supports that. And the evidence points toward a God who is powerful, who is personal, who is creative, who is caring, who is meticulous and smart. Occam's razor tells us it would be just one creator. And so we have scientific evidence for the beginning of the universe that points toward a creator who matches the description of the God of the Bible. Well, if that's true, if God has created the universe, then of course he can heal someone. Of course he can intervene, not overturn, but intervene in the laws of nature to make his will accomplished.
You know, Lee, you've mentioned that when it came to miracles, you were a bit of a skeptic as you approached this subject. But you report so many stories, documented stories, of full-on miracles in your book. So how skeptical are you now?
It has really transformed my personal faith in many ways. I believed I had a strong faith ever since I spent 2 years investigating the miracles of creation and the miracle of the resurrection, both of which are what helped bring me to faith in Christ. But the fact that we live in a world where God is still active, where he's still doing amazing things, has really caused me to step back in even more wonder at the power and the presence and the glory of God. And that's what miracles do. They point us toward God. They point us toward his love. They point us toward his power. Even skeptical people who say, oh, yeah, but what if there's another explanation? You know, there have been some recent scientific studies that have pointed toward the reality of miracles. You know, we have examples, for instance, of a lot of miracles that take place in third world countries where the gospel is just beginning to break in. And God often uses miracles in those settings to point people toward him. And so there was an outbreak of the miraculous in Mozambique. And there's a woman with a PhD from Harvard, a scientist and a theologian by the name of Dr. Candy Gunther Brown. She's a professor at a major secular university. She wanted to test this. Is something really going on? Can we find out scientifically? So she sent a team of researchers to Mozambique. They went in the remote areas and villages in Mozambique, and they said, bring us all your deaf and blind and people with profound hearing and vision loss. They brought these people forth. So this team of researchers tested them scientifically. What is their level of hearing? What is their level of vision? They got all that established scientifically. Then they were immediately prayed for by Christians who kind of have a track record of God using them in this way. And they laid hands on them and prayed for their healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And then immediately after that, the scientists measured them again. They tested them again. And guess what they found? Virtually everyone who was prayed for had an improvement in their health situation, some so dramatically, like, for instance, a woman named Martine. When they encountered her, she could not hear the equivalent of a jackhammer next to her. And yet, after prayer in the name of Jesus Christ and hands being laid on her and being anointed in oil, she could hear a normal conversation. Now, they were so astounded by this, they went to see if they could replicate this to Brazil. They went to Brazil and they did it again, and they got the same results. Now, here's the important thing. This study has been published in a scientific, peer-reviewed, secular medical journal. This is a valid scientific study. And what does it tell us? It tells us something is going on. I interviewed Dr. Brown. I said, what does this tell you? And she said, it tells you something is going on. She said, this isn't fraud. This isn't trickery. This isn't an illusion. She said, something is going on. Well, that's her reserved nature as a PhD. The truth is, what is going on? God is showing up and doing something remarkable. And, you know, there have been some estimates that 90% of the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ in China is attributed to people who themselves have been healed miraculously, or they know someone who's had a miraculous healing. And so often we see it in these remote areas, and people say, oh, yeah, well, that's in Mozambique, that's in China. Where's the evidence? Well, now we have the scientific evidence.
You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And it may be in some cases that we've not seen that miracle. We've not seen that divine intervention because we've simply failed to ask the Lord. You know, we read in Scripture that Jesus did no miracles in his hometown because of unbelief.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that all miracles are happening as a result of our direct faith, because our faith is weak at times and not as strong as it ought to be. But there is a place for our faith. And, you know, I wonder sometimes in some of these third world countries, Lee, if these folks just have a simple childlike faith, they read the Bible, they believe what the Bible says, and they pray that God will intervene. And here in the West, we might be more skeptical. I think, well, he doesn't do that anymore. And there could be an element of just simple, childlike, straightforward faith where they're asking the Lord, believing that God can do it.
I think there's something to that. And I think if we open our eyes to what God is doing around us, we begin to see things and evidence of his activity that maybe we've been oblivious to in the past. Maybe we've been too safe in our faith. Maybe we go to church and we pray and so forth, but we don't really expect God to surprise us with the miraculous. Well, if you don't expect to be surprised, if you're not open to it, if your eyes aren't looking for it, you're probably not going to see it. But if you do, I mean, the number of cases in my book, there have been hundreds of cases documented by Dr. Craig Keener at Asbury Seminary, who's written a huge two-volume, I think it's an 800,000-word treatment on the topic of miracles, where he documents miracles from all around the world. How are we missing these things? I think maybe our faith is you know, waning or weak, and we're just not expecting that the God of the universe is going to show up in a remarkable way.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of today's discussion with New York Times bestselling author Lee Strobel in just a moment.
It's a privilege to bring these studies from Pastor Greg your way. And it's encouraging to know that the program is reaching all parts of the world, including to this soldier in the Middle East.
Hey, Pastor Greg, I'm not sure if you'll get this email, but I was walking through our Morale, Wellness, and Recreation Center this morning and saw one of your messages on TV. I got saved at Vacation Bible School at your church when I was 5 years old. My parents also dedicated me to God as a child at your church as well. Your book, Lost Boy, helped bring me back from a dark place in my life during college. The day I read that book, I recommitted my life to Jesus and have been following him ever since. Thank you for continuing to serve in God's army. Thought you would like to know God is using your ministry even here in Kuwait.
Well, we send these daily studies from Pastor Greg via the radio, satellite, and over the internet. Would you like to share how this ministry has made an impact on your life? If so, just drop Pastor Greg an email. It's greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, we continue now with our discussion of miracles, the most requested presentation by our listeners this past year. Pastor Greg, I remember hearing the story from you of you praying with your dad, Oscar Laurie, to accept Christ, and then a miracle happened shortly thereafter. Tell us that story.
Yes. Well, Dave and Lee Strobel, who's with us in studio right now, my mom was married and divorced 7 times, and one of the guys she married was named Oscar Laurie. He was an attorney that lived on the East Coast. He was different than most of the guys my mom married. She seemed to be attracted to sort of a guy who would hang out in a bar and have too few many buttons undone in his shirt and hard drinker, smoker. And Oscar Laurie didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He was a moral man, an upright man. I don't know what my mom saw in him, frankly. Kind of joking there. But anyway, so he adopted me and I loved him as a father. And then my mom left him and I didn't see him for the rest of my childhood. Well, when I was in my early 20s, I was a Christian at this point. I was pastoring the church. I was speaking on the East Coast, and I wondered, is my father still alive? And maybe I could contact him. Now, this is the days before the internet, so I couldn't just Google his name. So I had a young lady in our church that worked for the Bar Association, and she found him quickly, and I made contact with him. And I went to see him after I spoke, and as it turns out, my father was in his 70s. He had had a heart attack and had blacked out behind the steering wheel and almost died. And so he was taking medication and so forth. And so I spent the weekend with him and I shared the gospel with him. He's a bit like you were, Lee, very intelligent, very well read, very skeptical. And as I shared my story and told him the gospel story, he listened, but he didn't really react. And the next morning we were out walking because he had to walk to get exercise for his heart. He said, Greg, I listened to what you said last night. And I said, right. And he said, I want to become a Christian. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I said, what? He said, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. And so I went over it again thinking maybe he didn't really understand what I said. He says, yes, I want to do that right now. I said, well, we need to pray then. And he drops to his knees. We're like on a walk in New Jersey and he's on his knees. So I got my knees and we prayed. And then after we prayed for him to ask Jesus into his heart, Lee, he says to me, pray for my heart. I believe God wants to heal my heart. I'm thinking, what, this guy's like 2 minutes old in his faith and he wants to be healed now? So I prayed for his heart. And as we're done praying, he says, my doctor's office is right over here. Let's go meet him. I want to tell him Jesus has healed me. I said, now, Dad, we don't know that Jesus has healed you. He says, no, let's go see him. So we go over to his doctor's office, and his doctor is a nice Jewish gentleman. My dad walks in and says, Doc, this is my son, Greg, from California. He's a preacher. I just asked Jesus into my heart, and he healed me as well. I'm thinking, oy vey, I don't know what this guy's going to think. And so the doctor said, now, Oscar, we need to run some tests on you and look into this. We don't know that you're healed. Well, as it turns out, they ran the test, and he was healed.
Awesome.
And,
awesome.
And that is like the faith of a brand new believer.
Oh, that is
but
great.
It's an amazing thing, and he lived another 15 years and served the Lord. He's in heaven now.
Oh, that is such a great story. That just warms my heart.
Yes.
To hear that. You know, I was witnessing to a man. In fact, he's a kind of a someone I've been reaching out to recently. He's Jewish. He's a attorney and also an engineer. And he's retired. And he's in his mid-70s. And it was interesting how God did a little miracle in his life recently. Mm-hmm. What happened was his house flooded. We live in Houston, and his house flooded during the hurricane. And he was devastated, and he and his wife were just so unhappy. What are we going to do? We're elderly, and our house is wrecked. And nobody from the synagogue came to help him, but people from a local church did.
Wow,
a woman and her daughter. And her daughter, by the way, was named Grace. And so they served this couple. They made meals for them. They encouraged them. Mm. They helped get their house back in order. And this guy was so grateful that he started to go to church. And that's where he heard me speak, and we've become friends, and I'm continuing to reach out to him. But what happened was the woman who would reach out to him and the daughter sent him a card. And just said, you know, it's been so wonderful to get to know you. And they included a photograph. And so he opens the thing and he sees this picture and he shows it to his wife. And he says, now, why would they send me a picture of Jesus? And his wife looks at it and says, that's not a picture of Jesus. That's a picture of Grace. And he looked at it again. And sure enough, it was a picture of Grace. Hmm. But the first time he looked at it, God caused him to see a picture of Jesus.
Wow.
And he had seen Jesus in a sense in the way that Grace and her mom had served them and so forth.
Right.
But I just thought that's just a little cool little miracle to me that God just sort of winked at him and said, you know, I sent her to minister to you, this young woman named Grace, and you see me in her because she has served you in my name. And I'm looking forward to him coming to faith. He is right on the edge, and
I love that.
I continue to pray for him.
Well, Lee, you mentioned in your book, you quote a statistic. In fact, you quote a number of statistics from a survey that you commissioned with Barna Research. One of the statistics was that 38% of those in the United States have had some kind of miraculous experience. You say that's something on the order of 94 million Americans are convinced that God has performed at least one miracle for them personally.
That's right.
Well, that leaves 3 out of 5 adults that haven't had such an experience.
Yeah.
And among those, maybe they've never even seen that kind of an experience.
Yeah.
What can they learn from your new book, The Case for Miracles?
Well, I think when we see a couple of things, when we see, number one, solid scientific documentation that Romans 1:1 is true, that the evidence of modern cosmology and physics establishes that there is a supernatural creator behind our universe who matches the description of the God of the Bible. And as the book also establishes, God did the miracle of raising Jesus from the dead and thus proving that he is indeed the one and only Son of God. And so those are miracles from history, things that have happened in the past that we have good, solid evidence for and we can believe are true. And because of those miracles, we can put our trust in Jesus Christ as our forgiver and as our leader. And then as we follow him and as we ask him to lead our ways, to guide us, to show us what he wants us to do with our lives. And so I'm betting that if you are faithful to God, and you are seeking his wisdom and guidance in your life, he's going to show it in one way or the other. And that's why when you ask a Christian audience how many of you have had an experience in your life that you would say is a miracle, almost every hand goes up. And why? Well, that's why they're Christians, probably, because they've seen the work of God in their lives.
Yeah.
And they're looking for it and they're relying on him. So what I tried to do in this book is to document miracles, to show that we have scientific evidence for them. We have documentation, eyewitnesses. We have x-rays. We have medical reports and so forth. Many, 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 many cases that are, I think, any reasonable person will say must have been a miracle of God. You know, when you study law, one of the things you learn about is what's called the reasonable man. And what that means is when evidence is presented, the reasonable man will reach a conclusion, a certain conclusion. And I think reading this book, a reasonable person is going to say, number one, God does exist. He did create the world. He did demonstrate through the resurrection that Jesus is his son.
And he is still active. He is still doing divine interventions into people's lives today. So I can trust him. I can put my trust and my faith in him. And I hope it encourages people to take that step of faith, to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to be in a relationship with God, and to know that someday, you know, this God who did something so remarkable by creating the entire universe. You know, we see the Hubble space photos and we see this incredible universe that he's created. We can trust that this God in the next world is going to provide for us as his followers in ways that are just going to blow our minds.
Author Lee Strobel and Pastor Greg Laurie talking about miracles today here on A New Beginning. And don't turn away, perhaps the most remarkable part of today's program is just ahead. Lee walks you through all the research he's done on the subject in his book called The Case for Miracles. We have a limited supply of the books available here at A New Beginning, and you can find out how to get one by going to store.harvest.org. Just search for that title, The Case for Miracles. And if you'd like a permanent copy of Pastor Greg's discussion with Lee, I hope you'll contact us. Many people did when this aired previously. It was the most requested presentation of the past year. To get a copy on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Ask for the title, Lee Strobel Investigates Miracles, an interview by Greg Laurie, or go online to harvest.org. And then we're so excited about Pastor Greg's book on the life of singer-songwriter Johnny Cash. It's a book that chronicles Johnny's spiritual journey, following him through the ups and downs of his life. Pastor Greg, is this the kind of book that we should give to a Christian who's struggling, or is this also a message for somebody who's never even tried to walk with Christ before?
Yeah, Dave, I think it would connect with both people. I just think he's a thoroughly interesting character, so colorful. There's so many interesting stories in this book, things you've never read about him before. So if you're a Cash fan, you're going to love it. But even if you're not a Cash fan, I think you will be at the end of the book, especially if you start listening to some of his music. But I think as you also learn more about his faith and how he used his platform for the gospel, you'll have a greater appreciation for Johnny. But you'll also learn some things about him you probably didn't know. Some things that he did that he was ashamed of and he faced the consequences for. So it is a very honest story, but one that I think ultimately shows how God can redeem any life. So I think it would be an excellent book to give to any believer who's struggling or some Christian who finds himself in a backslidden state. But at the same time, it would also be an excellent book to put into the hands of a non-believer because they'll connect with Cash. They'll find things in his life that remind them of themselves, no doubt about that. And I think it will connect to young and old alike. You know, the interesting thing about Johnny is he's transcended time. Why do certain people transcend time? I don't know why. But there's certain musicians that transcend time, certain actors that do the same, certain figures from history just sort of become timeless. And Johnny is certainly one of those people.
Yeah.
So I've written this new book, Johnny Cash, Redemption of an American Icon. It's a second in a series of three books that I've been doing. And this is a man who had his life transformed by Jesus Christ. And this is a brand new book. It's a spiritual biography of a man who really was a living legend and now is larger in death even than he was in life, a true American icon. It has a story to tell, and we want to offer you this book, Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon.
Yeah, it's the kind of book you won't be able to put down. As you read, you may see yourself in the story, or maybe you'll see a friend or relative. It's a human story of success and failure, of faith and forgiveness. And you owe it to yourself to read this biography. Let us send you your copy of Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon. Call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, Lee, you've investigated so many miracles in writing your book. As we close, share one that really got your attention.
Well, there is a preacher, a Baptist preacher by the name of Dwayne Miller. Dwayne was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Brenham, Texas. And he loved to preach the Word of God. He loved to worship God. He had a beautiful singing voice. He wakes up one day, his voice is gone. Just gone. He goes to the doctor. They say your vocal cords have been paralyzed by a virus, and there is no hope of ever returning to a normal voice. His voice was like this. He said it was like I had a hand on my throat, it was clenching my throat. And he went to 63 doctors over 3 years, including
63.
A Swiss symposium of voice experts who examined him. And the prognosis was, it's never going to come back. I'm sorry. So he lost his position at the church because he couldn't preach. He was destitute financially, going through just a terrible time. Well, he one day gets a phone call from First Baptist Church of Houston, his former Sunday school class where he used to preach years earlier. And they said, would you come and just preach for us? And he said, well, you know, it's really annoying to listen to me. And they said, well, yeah, we know it's hard to hear you, but we love you and just do it once for us. And so he goes to the Sunday school class and Dwayne gets up and he begins to preach. And he's preaching from Psalm 103. Which talks about God healing our diseases. And so Dwayne, as he's preaching, and his voice is like this, and in the verse it talks about God healing our diseases. And he said, I'm preaching it, but I'm thinking in my mind, well, why not me, Lord? Why have you not healed me? And then he gets to the verse that talks about the Lord redeems your life from the pit. And he said, you know, all of us have had, you know, at one time or another, a pit experience. And when he said the word pit, he said it was like the hand came off his throat. And his voice began to return. And people are stunned. They're shocked. They can't believe this because they know him. And they've known all that he's gone through. And as he continues to talk, you hear his voice come back. Now, here's the thing. This was tape recorded. So we have the actual tape of him at that moment when God healed his voice. So if you'd like, I can play it for you because
please.
I really think it'd be an encouragement to people.
Oh, outstanding.
So when the psalmist writes, and he heals all of my diseases, let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And in verse 4, he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. uh, Thank you, Lord.
Well, next time, Pastor Greg brings some good encouragement for those who need it most. He presents a message called Hope for Hurting Hearts. Next time, here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.